Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 45 degrees, overcast, and a high wind warning in effect for later this afternoon in our area. Today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly is proposing a one-day sales tax holiday on Saturday, December 10th. The Assembly will decide tonight whether to approve the idea in first reading. The plan is a change from the last few years when Sitka offered a two-day sales tax holiday on Thanksgiving weekend. The idea to move the date comes from assembly members who suggested there already are enticements for people to shop on Thanksgiving weekend. Moving the holiday to a later date, they hope, will keep people in the stores into December. Moving to one day as a reaction to declining sales tax revenues. At the last meeting, several assembly members expressed concern as to whether the city could afford to lose 2 days of sales tax revenue. Last year, the city estimates more than $696,000 worth of sales were exempted from tax. The Assembly also will continue action on the sales of 9 lots in the Whitcomb Heights subdivision along Jacobs Circle. If finalized, the lots would be the first properties for sale in the city-owned Benchlands neighborhood. The meeting begins tonight at 6 p.m. inside Centennial Hall. KCAW will provide live coverage. It looks like the Sea Alaska land selection legislation will become part of a larger bill that could be easier to pass. At least that's the case in the U.S. Senate. Meanwhile, opponents continue lobbying against the measure. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
There are a couple of ways to get a bill through Congress. One is to push the measure through on its merits or its sponsors' connections, or both. Another way is to combine it with similar legislation. That's what Senator Lisa Murkowski is trying to do with the Sea Alaska legislation.
So historically, what the Energy Committee has done is taken a whole package of lands bills, roll them into what is called an omnibus public lands bill, and then advance them to the floor that way.
The Alaska Republican is working on such a bill with Natural Resources and Energy Committee Chairman Jeff Bingaman. Murkowski says the New Mexico Democrat expressed some concerns she's trying to address. She says the timber acreage to be selected is pretty much set. Sections addressing cultural and economic development areas are more flexible.
Still some questions remaining on the sacred sites and some of the future sites. But I would suggest that after years of input from Alaskans and those that have an interest, we have gotten to a point where we are getting close to saying we've got a final bill that we can place before the committee.
The idea of the Sea Alaska land bill being part of an omnibus bill in the Senate has really always been our expectation.
Rick Harris is executive vice president of Sea Alaska. He says bill changes mostly have to do with the future sites, which could be used for ecotourism or energy development.
I think they just want to confirm that we've done as good a job as we can in the selection to avoid conflict, but to still craft a suitable solution.
But there's still plenty of conflict.
I think it's a bad idea.
Davey Lubin runs a sea taxi and ecotourism business in Sitka. He's opposed to the omnibus approach or any version of the bill so far.
There's some sense that some of the senators from certain states who stand to gain small wilderness areas are willing to throw the Tongass under the bus.
Lubin traveled to Washington, D.C. last month to lobby against the legislation. He's concerned about impacts on wildlife, tourism, subsistence, and the overall future of the Tongass National Forest. That's where the land would be selected. He says he tells people in Washington that the legislation is a corporate land grab.
Basically, I was giving them a frontline view of what the sentiment is here about privatizing some of the most significant, important, beautiful gems, if you will, of the Tongass. Most of the time, the response was, wow, we didn't realize that this was anything other than a native rights bill.
He's not alone. Some environmental, tribal, and outdoors groups, plus small Southeast communities, have also come out against the measure. One of the latest is the Alaska Outdoor Council. The Fairbanks-based group includes 7 Southeast affiliates and is the official state association of the National Rifle Association.
We're still battling here in the interior to try
try to keep the easements across corporation lands to public lands behind them, and we have not been that successful at keeping that access.
Rod Arno is the council's executive director. He's among those worried that hunters, hikers, and fishermen will be limited by the corporation's new land ownership.
The main concern is having more federal Alaska lands legislation when there should be adequate lands in the original withdrawals from ANCSCA to meet the needs of Sea Alaska Corporation.
Sea Alaska could select land now from areas of the Tongass near southeast communities. Officials say much of that acreage should be protected as fish and wildlife habitat or community watersheds. Instead, the corporation wants Congress's permission to select other lands in the region, much of it valuable timber property. Officials say they will maintain access and be environmentally sensitive. Murkowski points to support from the timber industry, economic development and native groups, and businesses. She says she hopes the omnibus bill, co-sponsored by Alaska Democrat Mark Begich, will move soon. Meanwhile, Alaska Republican Representative Don Young's version has cleared its only committee. It could head directly to the House floor or, like the Senate, also be wrapped into an omnibus package. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can learn more about the Sea Alaska Lands Bill at our website, kcaw.org. Follow the links posted with this story. A revival of a form of traditional sacred music has found a toehold in Alaska. The fourth annual Alaska Sacred Harp Convention was held in Sitka over the weekend. About a dozen singers from around the state and the U.S. joined locals for social gatherings, a song school, and an all-day sing. Here's an audio postcard.
There's a saying that, I wouldn't go across the street to listen to a shape note singing, but I'd drive 500 miles to be in one.
I am standing in the middle of the Alaska Sacred Harp Convention, literally in the middle. Grouped around me in a compact square are 25 or so altos, sopranos, tenors, and basses. They're seated in a high-ceilinged private studio space in Sitka that amplifies the energy of their voices. I entered this funnel of sound with permission to take a panorama picture of their faces. It's 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and they've been singing almost without interruption since 9.
When you get in your car and you get on the highway, you go 65. That's how we sing, because we have to go all day. It's not like we're doing a concert that's over. So we get into high gear and we leave it there.
Dr. Tom Malone teaches at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. He taught a song school in Sitka on Thursday and serves as the convention's guide and educator. Sacred Harp refers to one of several early American songbooks. It's also called shape note singing, solfège, or fa sol la. With roots in England, Sacred Harp took shape about the same time as the nation did. It is a simple and powerful form of expression, perhaps the most democratic choral music I've ever encountered.
One of the appeals of it is that the fa sol la system, even though it's old, its meanings are very current. It brings us to this moment today where we're singing together across from each other. You know, when we sing, we sit in a configuration around a square, looking at one another, not looking at an audience.
Malone disputes the idea that Sacred Harp is the revival of a folk tradition. Looking around the room, I see a couple of PhDs, 2 physicians, a nurse, a school teacher, some kids. No one looks like they're here to recapture the past.
One might view it as folk music, but if you grew up in a community where this is how music was taught and this is how music was sung and this is, you became musical, what right does someone else to tell you that that's folk music? It's like, if you learn to count or do math, is that folk arithmetic? This is music, no less and no more. You know what I mean? This is music, no less and no more, and this is people's means to musical literacy going back hundreds of years. So while it's one person's folk music, it's actually just music. And that's why even we say the Sacred Harp is just a book, and Fossil Law is just one way to discover what we all discover. It's just music. It's wonderful to make music with others. And this forum gives us that experience in a very, very powerful way.
Neither does anyone appear to be in a religious swoon. The Sacred Harp is not carried around and played by an angel. It's carried around by us. It's the human voice. By definition spiritual, Malone says the power of Sacred Harp is in the moment.
A lot of the songs talk about the fact that life is finite and that we all have to think on that, that we won't be here forever, and that we should kind of look around at the people around us and appreciate them.
I get a bit of a high from seeing this music. It affects me emotionally in a very deep and profound way. It gets deep in my bones, and I need my fix.
The Alaska Sacred Harp Convention meets the third weekend in October. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
To see the panorama picture from inside the Sacred Harp Square, visit our website, kcaw.org. The son of the University of Alaska Southeast Chancellor has died in a recreational diving accident. 35-year-old John Robert Pugh Jr. didn't surface from a dive early yesterday morning on the western side of Admiralty Island, according to reports. Alaska State Troopers say a second diver with Pugh retrieved him, attempted CPR, and then took him by boat to Auk Bay near Juneau. So on weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander, there is a high wind warning from 4 p.m. this afternoon to 10 p.m. this evening. Today, rain becoming very windy in the late afternoon, highs around 47. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, increasing to 25 to 35 miles per hour with gusts to around 60. This is KCAW in Sitka.